So as you know, this is part of the Bhakti Vaibhava course. The first canto we are presenting here in the temple room. And so far we have covered in the previous 2 weeks the preface and the prelude verses 1, 2, 3. Today's section corresponds to verses 4 to 11 from chapter 1 with the answers to the first two questions of the sages of Naimisharanya in the second chapter, verses 6 and 7. In that section, the answer section, we will just touch on it briefly, and we will go deeper into it when we reach chapter 2. So we will start by singing verse number 4 and reading Prabhupada's translation on purport. Naimishe nimishakshetre Rishaya shaunakadaya Satram svargaya lokaya Sahasra samamasata. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. I'll omit the synonyms for because we are covering several verses, otherwise will be too long. Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages, headed by the sage Shaunaka, assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. Purport. And this puts us into context with what we have studied so far, the prelude verses. The prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous 3 shlokas. Who spoke the previous 3 shlokas? Who is the main, who is the speaker, or who is the... Srila Vyasadev. Srila Vyasadev spoke the previous 3 shlokas, and now he's explaining, he's introducing what happened in Naimisharanya. And then Sutta Goswami, first the sages will ask questions to Sutta Goswami, who was presiding the assembly, and then Sutta Goswami will start answering the questions. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was repeated for the second time at Naimisharanya. In the Vayavija Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Therefore, it is said that Naimisharanya is the center of the universe because of this. Anyone knows where is Naimisharanya located? Who has visited Naimisharanya here? You were there. You like to say something? What is, where it is located and how it was? It's near Lucknow, but you were there? Did you visit? Of course, sometimes we visit Naimisharanya in Navadvip or Vrindavan Dham. There are places, all the holy places are included in Vrindavan and Mayapur. So sometimes we may have been there. The Naimisharanya described here, according to what I have heard from Hanumat Preshak Maharaj, it is near Lucknow. And he goes there frequently, very often. He visits this holy place. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Purana, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmanas prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. Any idea about anyone is aware of the meaning of Naimisharanya? Here it is mentioned Naimishe, referring to the, and then Animisha Kshetre. Yes, the Lord, Animisha Kshetra means the place of the Lord whose eyelids never closed. So yesterday we were speaking about the Lord waking up and going to sleep, but actually it's only apparent that he goes to sleep. Always his eyes are wide open. And even if he closes his eyes, simultaneously they are closed and open. He's inconceivable. So Animisha Kshetre, Prabhupada translates in the word by word, the spot which is especially a favorite of Vishnu, who does not close his eyelids. So that's Naimisharanya, the forest where the Lord resides, who the Lord who does not close his eyes resides. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general, and as such, the sages headed by Shaunaka and others assemble at this holy place of Naimisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. What was the duration of that chain of sacrificial ceremonies? 1,000 years. Was meant to be 1,000 years. Just imagine how determined they were. Sometimes the question comes to mind, were they living so long because was Kali Yuga already, but still they had some influence from Dwapara Yuga, or actually they were starting the Yagya and they were thinking, this is what I understand, that the next generations will continue with the performance of sacrifice. Any comments on that? I see. As the Akanda Kirtan program we have in Vrindavan and Mayapur, constant Kirtan. So the sages of Naimisharanya had started at a 1,000-year vrata of glorification of the Lord and his devotees. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore for the good of all humanity, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and when attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans, which are being made by atheistic leaders, are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. So this verse puts the context of the second time when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages of this forest, Naimisharanya, as he had heard it from Sri Shukadeva Goswami in the banks of the holy river, the Ganges or the Yamuna, the two versions are given, to Maharaj Parikshit, when Maharaj Parikshit was about to die. So Suta Goswami explained the Bhagavatam according to his own realizations. And in this chapter, what we will study or what we will hear are the six questions posed by Shaunaka Rishi, the spokesperson of the sages of Naimisharanya, to Suta. The situation before that, Shaunaka Rishi congratulates Suta Goswami and expresses why he is qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And this will educate us in the topic of learning about the qualifications of the spiritual master and the disciple. And please pay attention, I will be reading the translations, and later on we can have some discussion on that. What are the qualifications of the spiritual master and the disciples according to what Shaunaka Rishi is speaking here? Text number 5. You are asking for a text? Number 5 now, chapter 1. One day, after finishing their morning duties by burning a sacrificial fire, and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Sutta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters. And now the sages speak, Rishaya Uchuhu. The great sages said, respected Sutta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life. Well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and the histories as well, for you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Sutta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadev, who is the incarnation of Godhead. And you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. I don't know how many of you have done the reading. Anyone did the reading for this section? I know some of you are not following the course per se, but I'm sending it to the conferences in case someone wants to do the reading before. Because if you have done the reading, you may be able to contribute more when I ask questions based on the purpose, but also from the verses we can get what are the qualifications of a spiritual master, in this case, Sutta Goswami. So let's recap what we have heard so far. What are the qualifications of a bona fide speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam or a bona fide spiritual master? Learned in physical and metaphysical matters, very good. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport refers to the sat darshanas. Says that unless someone has studied the sat darshanas, the six philosophies, and is able to respond to them from the transcendental point of view, from the point of view of bhakti, is not qualified to sit on the Vyasasan. So this is something for us to take into account, that study is not just ordinary jnana, but when used in the service of the Lord, is actually bhakti, and it's very much welcome in order to present the conclusions of the bhakti scriptures. More points? More? Free from all vice. Free from all vice, we hear also in Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krutta Vegam. The six urges must be engaged in the service of the Lord in order for a person to be qualified to initiate disciples all over the world. And at least Srila Prabhupada says, at least the person should be able to control, to behave properly, at least externally. That's the very minimum. And therefore, free from all vice is mentioned, because that's something very accessible. Like, for example, in education, it is difficult to assess values, right? It is very difficult to assess the values of a person. But we assess the values through the behavior of the person. It's one way of doing it. Other qualifications of the spiritual master? He has a spiritual master. And that's mentioned here, that he he's repeating, he's explaining the conclusions of the scriptures as he learned from his spiritual masters. And it is mentioned that your spiritual masters, they have awarded all their blessings, all their favors. So he took the blessings from the spiritual, from his spiritual masters, in plural, not just singular, not just Shukadeva Goswami, who was his main guru for the Bhagavatam learning, but he had other spiritual masters as well from the text, sounds like that. Any other points? Good, very good. So we learn better when we teach something. So it is our duty to whatever knowledge we receive to share it with others. And that's actually the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru hanya tara edesh. And not just for Sanyasi, sometimes the concept, the medieval concept of the acharya, the matacharya, is that the guru is a sanyasi. And according to Varnashram system, the sanyasi is the guru of all the varnas and ashramas in society, and it is his duty to speak transcendental knowledge. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by this verse, spoken to a grihastha who wanted to take sannyas, and to whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, do not take sannyas, but stay at home and become a guru. So guruship or teaching transcendental knowledge is meant for everyone. And therefore we find letters of Srila Prabhupada emphasizing that he wanted that the generations of Bhaktivedantas will continue. He wanted his sons and daughters to become spiritual masters. And that's a controversial letter. There is a big debate now going on, TVC level, about men, women guru, women can give initiation or not. But whatever, without entering into the formalities of the initiation process, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada ordered that everyone, regardless of social status or external considerations, shares transcendental knowledge, because this will qualify that person to be a spiritual master and to fulfill the mission of transmitting transcendental knowledge, which is ultimately the essence of the Guru Parampara or the disciplic succession. Any other points? Sorry, wait a minute. Part of a community of scholars. Very good. So he's assembled with the sages, and he is not alone. He's in Sadhu Sangha. And actually, in many places, we will see, as we study the Bhagavatam, how Sutta Goswami congratulates the sages for their questions. And many times he expresses his disqualification for being born from a mixed caste, because he knew that there were sages who were born from Brahmana families present in the assembly. So he acknowledges his shortcomings in presenting the transcendental message, and he considers himself part of the community of sadhus. And this is what Srila Prabhupada did. Established the Krishna consciousness movement with the aim of facilitating, as he explains in Upadeshamrita in text number 4, Dadati Prati Grinati in the commentary, to facilitate the 6 loving exchanges among devotees. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Other points? in regard to the qualifications of a spiritual master. Must know the Vedas and not just the Shruti, but also the Smriti, especially in the age of Kali. Smriti is highly important. Srila Jiva Goswami establishes in his Tattva Sandarbha, Sandarbha commentary on the Bhagavatam, that it is actually Smriti, Puranas, are more important than Shruti in the age of Kali, because the Puranas illuminate the meaning of the Vedas and the Upanishads. Without the Puranas, and particularly without the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not possible to understand the essence of the Vedas and the Upanishads. So he was well-versed in all the scriptures, and particularly in the Puranas, the scriptures for the age of Kali. Any other points? Very good. So he was a senior in age and experience. He was a senior sadhu in the community of sadhus, and therefore that, due to his experience, gave him the qualification to present the message. That's considered seniority when presenting a message. It is not all, but it's considered. For example, in the third canto, we find that Uddhava, the eternal associate of the Lord, sent Vidura to learn from Maitreya Rishi because Maitreya was elder in age and Vidura was elder as well. So he thought it was more appropriate that he would listen for a person of a similar age. So mentorship is offered according also to the personalities, and seniority is very much considered. And Prabhupada explains that one should be careful not to commit maryada vyatikrama or to transgress the codes of ethics in social dealings, as exemplified by Uddhava. Sometimes there is overlapping and we get confused, like sometimes someone is a sannyasi but is a younger man, and there are elder men who are Prabhupada's disciples, and sometimes I am confused, some push me in the front, and sometimes it's kind I don't know what's appropriate. I get confused because until now in ISKCON the sannyasis were all Prabhupada's disciples, so everything was seen equally. But actually there is overlapping of etiquette, and then we consider both. And if something is not clear, you play it by ear the best you are able and you can. But always the principle is to offer respect to senior members of the community. And this is what one of the considerations mentioned here. Any other points mentioned? I remind you that I'm a bit deaf, so if you don't speak up, I will have to ask you to repeat. Yes, therefore we said it is seniority is not in age, is not everything. But in the case of Shukadeva Goswami, he was Paramahamsa. So his position was, in his case, all the rules of etiquette were finished because he was Paramahamsa. But if we are not Paramahamsa, we should be careful. We had many problems in the movement because of, take for example, the Sonal Acharya days. We created an impression, and that's general, the whole movement, had the idea that the new appointed gurus, just by the position of being appointed, were Paramahamsas. But that's a mistake. To have the position or being a sannyasi doesn't mean one is Paramahamsa. As a matter of fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the sannyasa ashram in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya to remind us that we are following Varnashram Dharma and that we cannot imitate Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Haridas Thakur. And if we do imitate, as many Babajis did, that will create a disturbance in society, because by not following the rules and regulations, we will misbehave, and therefore chaos will, illicit activities will take place, improper activities, and chaos will predominate in the community of devotees, and we will not know what's correct, what's wrong. So we should be careful with not imitating Shukadeva Goswami, who is a unique Paramahamsa, from whom his guru and Param Guru were hearing during the time when Parikshit Maharaj asked. Although they didn't stand up when he came in, but they allowed him to speak because he was Paramahamsa. But we cannot do the same. Any other points in this regard to the qualifications of a spiritual master? He was submissive and he had the blessings of his superiors. Very good. That's essential. We cannot function without blessings. If we commit an offense, even to a junior Vaishnava, we are bound to get a reaction. You may remember the incident of Srila Rupa Goswami laughing in ecstasy. That's a traditional story. I don't know the exact Shastra, but it's tell in Vrindavan by senior Vaishnavas, residents of the Holy Dham. Remember that incident when he was laughing in ecstasy, seeing the Radha Krishna Leela? And then disabled Vaishnava, physically disabled, passed by walking in next to him, and he didn't greet him, and he was laughing. So the devotee thought, Rupa Goswami is laughing at me, and he felt he's laughing because I cannot walk properly. And Rupa Goswami's ecstasy was stop. He couldn't experience the Leela anymore. And he was trying again and again and again to absorb himself in the rasa meditation. But he couldn't think spiritually. Something was blocking him from accessing that profound connection with the Supreme Lord and his eternal associates, Srimati Radharani and the Sakis. To the point that he became so disturbed that he went to see his elder brother and spiritual master, Sri Sanatan Goswami, and explained to him his dilemma. He asked for a mentoring session, right? And started asking him, expressing what he was going through. This is what we do in mentoring. The question is, what are you going through? That will be the question the mentor will ask the mentee or the guru to the disciple. And then Rupa Goswami explained that he was experiencing having high spiritual realizations, but he couldn't connect anymore with the Lord. And then the first question was, did you offend any Vaishnava? Did you have any clash with a Vaishnava? And Rupa Goswami said, no, I'm very careful not to fight with Vaishnavas. I'm very careful to serve Vaishnavas. And then Sanatana Goswami said, maybe you committed an offense unconsciously. So what you can do, you arrange a big feast, big program, like a community program, a big feast, invite all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. And then whoever doesn't show up, that must be the person you have offended. And then you go to him and you ask him what happened, and you ask forgiveness if you committed an offense. And it happened like that. He arranged the program. The lame Vaishnava didn't appear, didn't show up. And then he went to him and asked him if something had happened, if he had offended. He didn't mean to offend him. And it was revealed what had happened. So this was related to blessings. So if we offend a junior Vaishnava, we also can be blocked from advancing in devotional service. What to speak then if we don't get the blessings of the seniors? If we can be blocked even from juniors if we behave improperly, what to speak from seniors? So blessings from all Vaishnavas, and especially from the seniors, is an essential in order to be qualified to represent the Guru Parampara. Any other points? Did we miss any points in regard to the qualifications of a spiritual master according to what we have read here? I'm not sure. We can double check. Those of you who have the Bhagavatam can look at the verses and see if we miss anything. We can read them again. It's only 4 verses. Respected Sutta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. That was said. You are well versed in the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas. I wonder, is there a comma here? Because I got confused. I thought the scriptures famous refers to the scriptures, right? This is an old edition. I'm asking those of you who have the new edition. Text number 6. I went back just to double check that we didn't miss any points. Famous for religious life. So the scriptures are famous for religious life, or Sutta Goswami is famous for religious life, could be both. Okay, good. Let us see, I'm looking at the Sanskrit. The term famous, where it is mentioned, what's the Sanskrit word for famous? Dharma Shastrani. Scriptures giving right directions to progressive life. Okay, good. So the Dharma Shastras, and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. So he studied them. He studied the scriptures with close guidance, and as Sureshwar Prabhu mentioned, he explained them. Then, being the elders, learned Vedantist, or Sutta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadev, who is the incarnation of Godhead. So he knew the scriptures or the teachings of Srila Vyasadev. And you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. So we cover all the points. Now these questions start. There are six questions in this chapter, and they are summarized on the flip chart. So here in the next three verses, we will read the first two questions. I want to read the six questions as they have been identified by Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in their commentaries to this chapter. Because sometimes when we read the chapter, the questions are there, but sometimes we may say, why six? Why not seven or eight? Sometimes it looks like there are eight questions. And Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti, they have summarized it in this way. What is the absolute and ultimate good, Shreyas, for people in general? And this is in text number 9. Question 2. What is the essence of all scriptures? Found in text number 11. Question 3, found in text number 12. Tell us why Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared. Question 4, found in text 17. Tell us of the acts of the Lord. Of the acts the Lord performs in relationship to creating the material world. And this is distinguished from the next question by the use of the word Kala, which means planetary expansions, which is generally used in Shastra to refer to the Vishnu incarnations. We will see this more closely when we come to that particular section. Question 5, found in text 18. Describe the activities of the incarnations of the Lord as Lila Avataras, the pastime incarnations of the Lord. And question number 6. Where have religious principles gone after Lord Sri Krishna's disappearance from this planet? And that's in text number 23. So, for those of you who are planning to take the assessment and the examination, these six questions are meant to be memorized. Something that you can, if somebody asks you, what are the questions of this? Can you summarize the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya? This is the summary. You can take the keyword Shreya, ultimate good, Saram, the essence, why did Krishna appear, Kala, the incarnations of the Lord in relation to the material world, Alila Avatara, the pastimes of the Lord in the pastime incarnations, what transcendental adventures the Lord performs, and also because this puts into context, the sixth question puts into context the Bhagavatam. The sages of Naimisharanya are assembled to perform a sacrifice, particularly for the benefit of the people of the age of Kali. And the age of Kali starts, according to the first canto, at the very moment when Krishna departed from this planet. When Krishna closed his pastimes, the dark age of Kali started. And hence the sixth question. Who is protecting the religious principles? Know that the protector of Dharma, Sri Krishna, is not anymore present. And therefore, anyway, this puts into context the section. Oh, okay, we have only 2 minutes left. We are planning, as it was announced last 2 weeks ago, it was announced that we were going to, because we didn't have time to do workshops on the sections, for those of you who are willing to participate, we will be having workshops once a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 6 to 7 p.m. And it will be in the temple room if it is not occupied by guests. Otherwise, we will go to one of the next rooms, maybe the blue room. I don't know. Anyone from the tour program at 6 will not be occupied. So we will do it here from 6 to 7. Today we will explore, we will do workshops on the sections we cover so far, the prelude and today's section. I will read the last three verses, and this afternoon we can also take some questions and have group work. That will be the main activity. Please, therefore, text number 9, the first question about Shreyas, please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. And then text number 10 is to be, it's a key memory verse to be learned in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So the sages are asking for the welfare of the people in general, and particularly the welfare of the people of the age of Kali. And text 11, second question. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties, which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied. And we will do an exercise on this. There are different types of religions, different types of scriptures. What is the essence? And the answer to these two questions, the first two questions, is found in text number 6 of chapter 2. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo, Yato Bhaktira Dokshaye, Ahai Tukiya Pratihata, Yayatma Suprasiddhati. The supreme occupation for humanity is pure devotional service, offered in a continuous way without interruption, and in an unmotivated attitude, without expecting anything in return. So this afternoon we will explore this at 6 o'clock here in the temple room. You are most welcome to come and participate in the workshops. And if you have any questions, something you would like to discuss now, please write it down, and we will start with that in the afternoon. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.